G'day everyone, I'm James Madison. Welcome to Talking Tribal, the show that's as refreshing as a nudie run on a Fijian beach. You want to stick around because we've got an embarrassment of Survivor riches coming up, including one of your favourite castaways from season two right here on the Talking Tribal couch. But I'm joined, as always this week, by the people's champ, the puppet master, the loose cannon, the king of the jungle himself, Luke Toki.
Hey, bro.
You're in your element.
I know.
Not quite back in the Survivor jungle, but
thank
you
God.
Know, we've got some pot plants here for you. Keep you at home.
Keep me at home,
maybe
yeah.
We can make a little spy shack
out
of that.
Yeah, chuck some mozzies in there. Yeah.
We saw the guys having a bit of fun. I mean, how did you sort of light the mood when you're in the camp?
Look, I'm a jokester. You know, I was always stealing papayas or trying to have fun, and that's what Johnny brings to the table. You know, Johnny was getting naked on our season nearly every day. It was just like, oh, there's John, you know? but, you know, everyone has their thing. I used to go fishing all the time. You know, some people go running, some people cut wood. Dave used to do these weird breathing techniques, and that used to, you know, he'd sit on the beach and, yeah. Everyone has to blow off steam some way.
No nudie runs from you?
No. Wife cut me up.
Now, we saw some real reversals of fortune in some of the tribes there. What caught your eye this week?
Look, it's just the two tribes have so different dynamics happening. Like, they're split. There's a couple idols found, a couple idols played, and I'm loving the dynamics, I think, and the power shifts between each tribe.
Yeah, so there's a lot of moving parts. Let's have a quick refresher to catch you up. Makuta just couldn't get a break this week. After losing a grueling battle for immunity, the challenge beasts decide to pick off the physically weak members of the tribe. This puts Michelle in the firing line.
We go Michelle.
I prefer to go Michelle.
I'll make Michelle with your
power and weight.
Not everyone is convinced with this plan.
I'm off the Henry wagon. I'm going to switch my vote to Henry.
But Nick can't get the numbers, and Michelle is voted off the island.
Michelle, time.
Good luck, guys.
Meanwhile, in Vakama, the Godfather has a turn of good luck.
Another one. Can you believe it? The look on everyone's face when you find an idol, priceless.
Mwah. Matt won't need his idol yet, though. Vakama get another win. This time, the challenge beasts turn their attention to Shawnee.
We need to get rid of the weakest link of our tribe.
Little did they know, she's found an immunity idol. Nick sees the chance to take down Henry once and for all.
We've lost the immunity challenge, and my to-do list today is voting out Henry tonight.
Henry feels the pressure and makes a fake immunity idol. But when Shawnee plays her real idol in Tribal Council, Henry has no more tricks up his sleeve.
Henry.
And becomes the fifth person voted off the island. Unfortunately for Makuta, their new look tribe doesn't fare any better. They lose their fifth challenge. Things look very bad for Shawnee.
Tonight, Shawnee will be going home. I want to take out each and every one of the social threats in this game. It's not happening again, definitely not on my watch.
But this tribal council has a big twist.
The two people with the highest number of votes will be going to Exile Beach.
Both Zach and Shawnee leave to face their fate.
Good luck, guys. Yeah. Keep each other
on the
warm.
Other side.
Keep each other warm, yeah. See you guys.
Oh man, there is so much to unpack there. So let's break down what happened with our Survivor expert. Welcome back, Shannon Gus. How are you? It's getting exciting very, very quickly, isn't it?
I'm excited, but I'm sad. Michelle, Henry, I don't feel like Shawnee is at a good spot at Exile. Those are three favourites. I don't love that.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think could have been done differently in terms of, let's start with Michelle. She was always in a bit of trouble in a tribe that had some strong, powerful women.
It's so hard for players like Michelle in the early game. But, you know, as Pia said last season, if you're not out one of the first, you may win, and it's about getting through that early game so you can make a long run. But the challenges are so, so tough. And I'm interested to hear from you, Luke, who played 2 and 4. Do you feel like they were even elevated once champions and contenders started to get even harder for someone like Michelle to stick around early?
Oh, the challenges this season, they look excruciating. You know, I would be dreading if I had to play in this. And for someone like Michelle, yeah, look, when you're moving the size and the weight of these challenges, you know, weight does carry so much into it. And what Michelle weighs as much as a...
one of those barrels.
Yeah. Yeah, and holding those things, you know, she kind of made herself known that she is the weakest. And by letting go of that, I know what it feels like. As soon as one person let go, the whole team carries the weight now. And, you know, maybe if she held on maybe a little bit longer than Shan, it could have put her in a different, you know, mindset. But unfortunately, she didn't.
There was a mentality, though, that we're going to pick off the weaker members. And that was something that they were adamant, that they had to win challenges and get rid of those who couldn't pull their weight.
Yeah, look, it sucks because I love Mish, you know, and I wanted to see her go a bit further in the game. So it's just, you know, it is that unfortunate part of the game. You know, the start of the challenges at the start of the show are extremely taxing, and they kind of drift off a little bit.
What do you do differently, though, if you are a Michelle-type player?
I think it's really a matter of luck, because while the challenges are hard, it depends on the group you're with. The other tribe don't seem to care as much about challenge strength, and this group are very focused on challenge strength. But it makes sense, because look who's leading the tribe. Abby, Lydia, Lee, they're all literally professional athletes. Mm. So as much as you say we want to keep the tribe strong, we want to keep in the strongest members, also all the strongest members are your allies. So it makes sense on a strategic level as well. If Michelle's in a more, you know, a side that's thinking more about the social game or just kind of not focusing as much on the physical, she could have been okay. But in this tribe, without an idol, it's hard.
What about the split in Vakama? It seems like you've got the beautiful people and sort of the old ducks. There's movement, but it seems like the beautiful people, it's going to be a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, look, it's natural. Old people hang out and young people hang out.
The boomers. Like,
yeah, exactly. You're not going to, you know, drag these old guys down to the clubbing scene. You know, they're retired. So it was, look, they're two different tribes, and I feel like the dynamics are just totally different at the moment. You've got the strong guys, and then you've got the old people, and then the young people. And I do love the relationship between Matt and Dave, because it has given a different layer to the, you know, what is perceived out there between the young and old. So having that relationship with Dave and Matt has like...
How hard is it in camp to have a sort of a secret relationship or an alliance that other tribe members can't be aware of?
And that is what makes you progress throughout this game, is having someone in another alliance constantly divert your name away from the target without you being in there. So that works. That's probably one of the main things that pushes you on.
Yeah, it's effective. But what's the reality of it when you're actually in the game?
You need to hide it.
Right.
And that's why Dave and Matt, they don't talk around camp. Mm. They're up at 2 in the morning, and that's when you talk. And if you don't want anyone to see you at 2 in the morning sitting together, because naturally people see that and go, what's going on there? What are they hanging out for? They shouldn't be talking with each other.
So Makuta had this plan, you know. They were going to vote out the weaker members of the tribe in order to win challenges, but they just couldn't catch a break. They couldn't win challenges regardless of how they played.
Yeah, I think that, well, you know, if you're in control of the tribe, at least you're not voting out your people. I think where they have had some issues is that the people they were trying to vote out, it wasn't working for them. Obviously, Shawnee had an idol. Now someone's going to come back from exile. So, like, you guys lost a lot of challenges as the champions, but at least you were voting out some of the dead weight, some people that you wouldn't want to work with.
Yeah.
For them, if they'd kind of got their way every time, they might be going into the swap next week with a little bit more, you know, power, but now they kind of have some issues. So I think it's about, if you're losing, at least be getting the votes right.
Yeah, I think for Abby, a lot of it was like, I don't want to keep coming back here, you know? Well, how does that play on your mind when you are in a team that keeps losing challenges and you keep having to come back to tribal?
Well, that's where the relationships, they have to be strong. And, you know, we went down to 4 people on season 2. And that was, you know, Mish was a number for me, strong as and obviously with Sarah and Jericho. So we stuck together and just dwindled our numbers. But in this case, if you're the weakest person in the strongest winning tribe, it's good for you come merge and long of that, because you haven't had to go to tribal, you haven't been targeted. Yeah. Come merge now, you're the weakest guy and no one even cares about you. You're just hiding under the radar.
What impact does it have, like, on your own mental state? Keep having to come back to tribal, keep losing challenges, and also in terms of how you play the game as well.
It sucks. Hey, going to tribal...
Time after time.
And knowing that these twists that kind of can get thrown at you at any point, it's like, I don't know, swimming with sharks, and then hopefully your mate gets eaten and you get on the boat and you're like, oh, sorry, man, like, I'm on the boat, you're... eaten. So it is a juggle. The start of the game is really, you need to win. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Feed your mates to the shark.
Exactly.
What do we have to do?
Well, I think for my Makuta, like, what Nick was trying to do, it seemed, was kind of if they were losing challenges and losing numbers, to keep the tribe really cohesive. And I think that's been a bit of the difference between the two tribes, where Vakama are at war. Like, besides the Dave Matt little secret connection, it is too clear and obvious. Groups who've always been at each other. Whereas for Makuta, I do think that I can see those groups now. It really is the athletes versus the rascals, with kind of some fringe members like Zach was, like Henry was, and Sean maybe is somewhere in the middle. But they've kind of wanted this perception of unity. Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering how that will play out going into the swap, because I think that the athletes will go very well with the old ducks. Like, they have that same sense of loyalty, athleticism, trust. In Survivor fandom, we call it the shelter people, versus what I think is like the beach people, the fun, playful, you know, good-looking crew on Vakama and on Makuta, the rascals. I can see those groups kind of teaming up. I think it's quite a natural chemistry there when we get to a swap.
You mentioned Nick there. I mean, he played a big role in Henry's downfall. Do you think there's things that Henry could have done differently to make sure he stayed a bit longer in the game?
So a lot of things. Yeah. I don't think Henry should be ever going pre-swap. He's obviously like such a physical force that if he does nothing, I think he's okay. But Henry can't do nothing. Like, he's an aggressive player. The way he was playing in his boot episode, to just be really social, to show his extreme worth in challenges, if he just did that consistently, maybe didn't pass an idol to Matt Rogers, you know, the fake idol, at that point he was desperate. But he was doing too much. I think he would agree.
I think he had a good relationship potentially with Nick. And he never actually sat down and had a one-on-one, what wasn't shown, but it feels like just a serious, normal conversation. It was always strategic conversation. No one wants to be around someone that constantly wants to talk strategy every single time you get a one-on-one. It's like, so that was his problem. I think that he could have probably talked to Nick and been like, look, man, I've gone in a bit hard. Like, apologise if I'm coming across like that. I've got Mish. You know, how about, you know, we can reconnect, and I do want you on my team and stuff, and I do want to move forward. But instead, it was just like, you with me? You're like, let's do this, like, big moves. And I feel like naturally it's like, calm down. Like, I want to make it to merge. You know, this is a long game. And Survivor's a long game, you know. And he kind of really put Nick emotionally scarred or scared from him, that he was like, hell no, no one, because it could ruin Nick's game by becoming so like forcefully, we need to get him out. And he was willing to do that to get Henry out, because he was so worried about Henry blowing up his game.
But I mean, Henry also had some, you would think, natural alliances that he didn't really utilize in many ways.
Well, the athletes desperately wanted to keep Henry around. Like, he is physically so important to them. That's obviously something that they care about. They were fighting to keep him in. I mean, they did vote with him, and Shawnee played her idol. So if he had just, done a little less, as you saw him bonding kind of with Johnny and stuff, like, just lay low. Because, like, for someone like Nick, who ended up kind of being the person mainly going after him, Nick kind of had to babysit him at a point. And even while Henry is saying, we can work together, I'm your number one or you're my number one, in action, he was going after, you know, Harry in episode one, then Sean he wanted to get rid of, and then Shawnee. Those are all of Nick's allies. So at a point, that's not an alliance. Like, how can Nick work with that? So I think it became too much of a headache. And Henry, you know, should be able to get to a swap portion of the game. Is that vital in challenges? So
if I want to align with you, and I'm telling you, me and you are a team, and I start targeting your mates, you're going to be like, dude, that's not aligning with me.
No.
You need to bring something to the table. And by bringing something to the table, he goes forward with him and Mish and he goes, I want to work. We got numbers. Let's do something. And then potentially, maybe they would have swung his way. But for some reason, they wanted him and followed Nick's plan. And
well, we actually sent one of our top flight investigative reporters to chat with Henry. They were unavailable. So instead we sent Luke to have a chat with the one and only Zenhead.
First of all, I would like to welcome the latest evictee, Henry, my boy. I'm so sorry you got eliminated. Welcome, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's your experience out there this time?
It's crazy. As you know, playing another time around, it's completely different. And this time, we knew everyone. We knew their stories. We knew their gameplay. So I guess that initial kind of get to know you that we did in the first time you play, like season two, that's no longer there. And then it's everyone knows your stuff. And for some, it works, I guess. And for me, it might not have helped, but that's the game.
Did you kind of like come in with a different strategy knowing that, you know, you're playing against all-stars?
For me, it didn't change my strategy. I wanted to kind of set the tone of all-stars. I wanted to do what I did in season two, but better, elevate it. And like I've said, Zenhen 2.0. So I didn't really change strategies. I just want to amplify my original one, and that's taking out the threats, making big moves. And I think even though it didn't work in my favour, I think I at least accomplished, you know, some entertaining TV and started the season off with a big bang.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Do you think, though, if you could run it back, do you think you played a little bit too hard? Do you reckon you would have maybe taken it back just a notch?
If I run it back, started again, I wouldn't change anything I did, but that's just me. What I could have looked at is maybe going back into the shadows and looking at my tribe and really dissected them to be, there were a lot of heroes, a lot of ex-champions, a lot of people that just wanted to, I guess, move forward with the game in the easiest way possible. And if I took that approach and maybe didn't go with Shane and after Harry straight away, I might have gone further. But I would much prefer to sit at the end of this game knowing I get everyone's vote because I played hard from day one, which is something I respect, than just kind of sit in the shadows and get further in the game.
Your idol, you gave it to Matt. Do you think that was a good move or do you think you kind of regret it?
On Survivor, I never kind of thought of playing with Matt Rogers. He was a big threat and I like to take him out. But as soon as I turned around when I found that clue and saw him running up the race, we were destined to work together. And that's how I play. I build relationships with the other tribe when things change up. So I kind of was put in a place where I had to work with Matt. And I think if I didn't give him that idol, then I would have really annoyed him and ruined potential plans with him and his alliance. And there was also a lot of other things in the works with how me and Matt were communicating at challenges and how we would work together going forward. So finding that clue kind of set up my alliance with Matt in a way. So, yeah, I would always give him that idol and I'd do it again.
Yeah, building those relationships. You got to build them.
You got to build them.
The previous vote, before you got voted out, it was a split vote. Your name came up. Like, did that kind of mess with your head?
Yeah, so I guess that was the first kind of evidence that, oh, wait, I am actually a target that I thought I might be. And straight away I knew now Michelle's gone, I'm next. So it kind of lit another fire under me to just absolutely scramble and do what I can do best and try and survive and get votes together. You know, do whatever I have to do. I just put down Shan's name and try to orchestrate something against her, but I got to figure out now a new route to how do I survive in this game.
Playing from the bottom. It must have been a little bit of a nervous time for you.
Yeah, playing from the bottom is tricky. I played from the bottom a teeny bit over in season two at Samatau, but we were the really strong team, so we didn't go to tribal much. So I thought my team was probably a bit weaker in terms of strength across the board compared to the other tribes. So I knew that, like, I couldn't just lean on us winning challenges. I knew I had to really start playing again and somehow get out of this situation.
It seemed like you were trying to appeal to the sporty side, and then you won the challenge, won the ice cream thing. Did you think that was enough to maybe get you across the line through the next vote?
Yeah, I was just stoked that I beat David and Matt in one foul swoop. And yeah, we won the ice cream, and I knew what came with that reward would be an idle clue somewhere. And that's kind of what I needed. And then I needed to use, if I couldn't find an idle, I needed to use challenge strength, which is a part of my game I don't like relying on, but it's a part of my game that can help me go forward. So I just had to basically, you know, tense all my muscles, walk past all those challenge threats and see if they wanted to jump on board with me.
Yeah. Where did you reckon you and Nick went wrong? Where do you reckon that you felt that he was actually turning on you? Was it that vote that your name came up?
Yeah, it's interesting with Nick because obviously a lot of conversations and things happen throughout that don't actually get shown, but I never once and really showed that I was against Nick until I really kind of saw his name come up, my name come up in the Michelle vote. But even then, he wasn't my number one target. It went to Shoni. So I guess for me, I'm still trying to figure out where I went wrong with Nick. Maybe it was because I was just playing a big game and that intimidated him. But he even quotes that he knows that I'm his number one. So him voting out me, who thinks he's working with Nick, doesn't make sense to me, but it must make sense to his game. So I didn't really know because I didn't see the sense behind it at the time. But good on him.
I love that when your back was against the wall, you went into tribal and you planted the fake idol, found it, and then when Nick was like, nah, you planted it, were you like, what was going through your head?
I was like, oh, every step to that process was so nerve-wracking. I had to plant it nicely and then be like, oh, excuse me, Jonathan. He's like your principal. Can I please just go up there and look for something and then just look at a tree for a couple of minutes and then pull this thing out, put it in my pocket and sit down. And then Nick's like, that's not one. And, you know, because he knew that there was an idol found, that's something that helped him with that assessment. But basically, I didn't need to actually have the idol. I just needed the aura of doubt to go into their heads. And it was more for down the track because I figured I might have the votes here. But then what happens if we get Shoni out? Then it's me. I've got to figure out, wait, if I've planted an idea that I've got an idol in their heads, then they've got to split a vote. And that's all I needed right then was a vote split because then I reckon I could get four numbers to move forward.
What happened when Shoni went, I'm playing an idol?
I guess when Shoni pulled it out, I just kind of game recognised game. Good on her. She played at the right time. She was going to go home and, you know, that's part of the game. I had a suspicion someone would have an idol. I thought Harry might have one. And it was just unfortunate that she chose to play it, but there were a lot of signs telling her to play it. So it was a great move by her.
So you survived that tribal. Shoni doesn't have an idol. If you go back to camp, who's your next target? Who are you going after?
I wanted Harry from the start. Harry is such a quality player and he landed John Abbey in his tribe straight away, who he was very tight with. He then worked with Nick and Shoni. Like, I couldn't believe how evident it was that Nick and Harry and Shoni were such a tight-knit group that no one else wanted to break it up. It baffled me. And he's such a good player. We saw what he could do. So, yeah, he would be the one person I would have gone straight back to target. I would have tried to work with Zach, Dan, Lydia, and some of those other challenge beasts and just take him out. So that's what I would have gone for. But Harry got me, so good on him.
Yeah. And who do you think, from your time on the beach, will win Survivor? Who do you think's got the money? Who's got the game to take it out?
I actually think the person that I walked away that surprised me the most was probably Lee. His social game is next level. He just does it so naturally. I don't think he even knows how good he is at this game. He's obviously a challenge beast. And I just think that the Nick, Harry and Shoni kind of threesome, they had a chance to have me and Michelle with them and they chose against that. And I think that might come back to backfire, but Lee's in a really good spot. John loves him. Everyone loves him. And I think he will be hard to beat in the individual challenges. And he's got to the end before. So he was the one that really surprised me out there.
Lee Castledine, hey?
Castledine.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on anyways, Hen. You know, I've got mad love for you, brother, you know.
And right back at you.
I hope I get to catch up with you soon.
Welcome back to Talking Tribal and a very warm welcome on the Talking Tribal couch to one of the most popular players from season two, Sarah Talik.
Hello.
You are back in Survivor world.
Back in the vicinity of Survivor things.
But I guess you never really leave, do you? Probably always plays on your mind how you could have played the game, what I should have done.
Yeah.
When you're watching other players, you're like, oh man, I would never would have made that decision.
Yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda, big trap to fall in.
Yeah,
I'm sure you feel that way with the idol situation.
A couple of times, yeah.
But yeah, I've got a lot of friends now playing as well in the show. So yeah, you really do never leave that world as much as you try.
Watching this season so far, what's stood out for you?
Oh my God, players. It's like kind of like the promos. It was all my way. Everyone wants it my way. God forbid anyone's a number. And it's just chaotic. Like, I don't know how I would have played with...
You would have done all right. The evil twin sister would have been out there cutting throats. I know how she plays.
We were talking
bit actually about the idea of All-Stars, because there is a bit of, you know, puffing of the chest and a bit of egos that, I'm the best. You know, I've got to play a game that's elevated from what I've done before.
Oh, yeah, people go back with so much to prove and it's like you see a lot of people have, revenge stories, a lot of people have... things they woulda, shoulda, coulda done, and it's everyone's legacies. Trying to recorrect that.
Everyone wants a legacy. Wants to leave the legacy,
make their mark, put their stamp in the book.
How would you sort of describe how you played in your series?
Well, Luke would say evil twin sister.
Yeah, she's good.
I just tried to keep as many options open as possible at all times, and then once I burnt someone, burn them, get them out, make them go. But yeah, I kind of really, it's the whole not making a move.
She tried to take me out. She tried. And I was like, look, I'm your friend. And she was like, nah, you're out.
Then we had the big fight on the
log. We had a massive fight.
Jerry was sad. It was a big moment.
And then we came back together.
Like, yeah, we did.
So,
options open.
Options open.
And you feel the same way as well. Like, I don't think you and I took much personally in the game, and that's what can be really helpful, whereas a lot of people this time around seem to have a lot of emotional investment in it.
In a lot of ways, you played a game where you kept your head down, laid low until the merge. Do you think that strategy would work in sort of an all-star environment where everyone knows each other's game a little bit better?
I do, mostly because I think in Survivor you have to expect twists. Twists are going to happen at some point, be that merge, be that anything. And if you don't go too hard in with certain people, then that leaves you a bit more, it gives you a bit more room to move around when the game changes up. And I think that would be helpful in All Stars.
Have you guys noticed anyone who's sort of playing that game well so far?
Look, obviously Dave is keeping his option open with the minority. You need to make sure that you don't cut yourself off the minority. And that's what she did. She used to come over to me thinking like she was in our crew. She'd be like, don't worry, I'm just going over hanging with them and then I bring all the secrets back to
I'm
you.
Spying.
And I'm like,
spying
hell no, you're spying on us.
You were the only one that never, ever fell for
she's
it.
She's dodgy ass, man. But that's what it
Luke
is.
Was on to me.
She's playing Dave, you know. She's in the majority but not cutting herself from the minority, and that's very good.
I think Sian, I see there's some quieter players that aren't getting a whole lot of edit, but Sian and Phoebe seem, I'm just noticing, they seem to be in all the conversations. Mm. Like, even alliances that they shouldn't really be in, they seem to just be around.
Hanging.
And so you kind of look at that and you go, that those people are kind of really have the quiet control, I think.
Yeah, do you think from Sian that's a very deliberate ploy? Stay low, but keep the fires burning with everyone?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what she did first season she was on, and it got her so far in the game, and I think she's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type situation.
Be friends with everybody, you know? I'm not here to do it, blindside anybody.
No, yeah.
I'm just here hanging out.
Me.
I love rice, that's what it is. You know?
Talking about friends, you're friends with David.
I am. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing these days. Yeah.
Watching him play, how do you think he's going and what do you think he needs to do differently?
As a Survivor fan, I'm insanely proud of him. He's amazing to watch. You're his friend as well.
He's my boy. You know?
Yeah.
You got to game respects game, and I just I'd love to see that he's never stagnant. He's always moving. He's always having conversation. His nighttime game is one of the best.
Yeah, and I like that you've seen some players who go really hard and really strong, and whilst he is going hard and fast, it's just pulled back enough where he can come back from. If he goes a little bit too far, he still can come back.
Yeah.
And I just love watching him. So very, very proud of him as a friend.
But you knew him before he actually went in to Survivor. What was it about him that you thought would make him a great player?
I just thought he was the biggest scoundrel I'd ever met. And I'd be like, do you know what you should go on? You should go on Survivor. Yeah.
Speaking of scoundrels, though, Matt Rogers has been an absolute beast in this game. And he's played it with such bravado that it's impossible not to love him.
I love him. Yeah. We were saying, how he torments Lockie is got to be one of the funniest, most hilarious parts of the show.
It is. I'm living it for that. I was in fishing with Matty, and he's always been an idol of mine growing up. And to meet him and then now watching him play, I'm just, rooting for him hard, you know?
Yeah, and he's one of those people that it's where brains meets brawn. He's the athlete, which people love, but drive me insane because athletes only think one-dimensionally. Yeah. He's not thinking one-dimensionally. He's thinking ahead, he's thinking alliances, he's thinking numbers, and he's also just really great to watch.
I just love him.
The Godfather.
Mm. The Godfather, wearing the idol, taunting with the idol, singing songs about
wearing
the
idol. What's the time? Idol o'clock.
You know, some people can give their names or whatever, but I think he has truly earned that name, the Godfather, and I just, I hope he goes further and further and gets to sit at the end, you know. He's if anyone deserves it, he does.
That is a great line. Idol o'clock. I've got to mention perhaps one of my favourite lines in almost all Survivor history, when Tarzan is mid-challenge.
I know, yes.
And he goes, "You hungry, mate? Why don't you chew on this?"
Boom!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's very good with
He's got a big engine on him, you know, it's like a big coal engine, you know, like the old school.
It's the farmer in him is what it is.
He's just an Aussie.
They talk about that, farmer strength, old man strength.
Old man strength.
Exactly, like those limes he would be carrying those limes down the field and it's all paid off now.
I feel like the beard as well adds to the weight a little bit, all that hair, kilo or two in there.
Great character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we saw just at the end, Exile Beach comes back into play. How do we feel about Exile Beach? How do you sort of play it?
I've got mixed feelings.
I kind of feel like Exile Beach is worse for the people who've sent the people there. Because once you go to Exile Beach, you are clearly on the bottom. Anyone who's looking for numbers is looking at you now and they want you on board. Mm. Like, they think, that person's burnt, I can use them. Instantly you're in with all these other people, despite the fact that you've been voted off. If you can taper your emotions a little bit,
I feel like they've played it a bit better this time. As in, before they said you need to go up and vote, they said there's a twist.
Yeah.
You can send two people to exile, which then you know for a fact the person's name you go up and write isn't actually getting eliminated, is going to exile. On our season, it was like you're getting sent home, so you think, oh, they're going home.
Great.
Then they give you the twist when they're about to get burnt out. So it's like, wait a minute. We voted that one out.
Yeah.
So I definitely think they played it better this time.
With that in mind, do you think they should have voted differently if they knew who was going to come back, was going to come back with a bit of vengeance?
Potentially, the thing is, when you get sent to exile, you would think that they're going to battle it out, one person comes back. So in the end, do you want to send your best mate out there that could potentially get sent home? You never know. It's the unknown. So you kind of go still with the who were you going to vote out type of strategy.
That's it. And I feel it's better the devil. Like, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right. Because if you change the vote, it's very obviously changing the vote. So I feel like it's the vote's kind of set anyway.
Yeah.
So you just got to go with it, almost commit. Yeah.
And just finally, you keen to get back there at any stage?
For All Stars?
Well, no, just maybe a few seasons.
Surprise. Yeah. Hey, guys! I'm everyone's friend.
It's a new twist.
This
Not
is our
this
next
season,
top model.
Clearly.
I've always said this, I would go back in a heartbeat. Yeah. I have to say, I'm very happy not to be playing first time round. I feel like it's been very interesting to sit back and watch how that all unfolds. But yeah, like Survivor, like anyone says who's come out the show, they say it's like life-changing, it's great. So, of course.
Amazing. Awesome. It would be love. There's still heaps more to discuss, so let's leave it there for just a moment and we'll be back after this break.
The Professor and the Hack. Accessible politics with just a touch of depth. I'm Hugh Rimmington.
And I'm Peter Van Onselen. You can find us, The Professor and the Hack, wherever you find quality podcasts.
All right, sadly, the fun has to stop eventually and it's almost time for us to go. But first, we're going to give the award for biggest move of the week. Luke, who should get the trophy this time round?
I think Queen Shoni. I think she's done really well. She found an idol, she played it correctly, and unfortunately she's gone to exile. I think she's still, I don't know what's happening there, but I think that she's done well by not crying and just taking it in her stride.
She's done well.
Well,
not
it's sad
crying.
To go to exile. I'm expecting.
I would cry.
Yeah, Zach's probably.
I cry a lot.
Yeah, for all I know, like.
Did you cry when they went to Mama's kitchen and saw pictures of their mum? Because I was bawling.
Yes, that stuff gets me. The Survivor producers know how to get you. It's not fair, is it?
It's
but
like
Shoni did. She did more than just not cry. Like, you know, we talked about how hard it is for the Michelles and Shonies of the world, that archetype. And I know she's on exile right now with Zach, which is crazy given their first time out together. And I don't love her chances in a battle against Zach. But to find the idol and buy herself a couple of days and to move that massive well to do it, which looked like it was the size of her, who wasn't cheering when she stood up and played it correctly and saved herself for that vote, she's definitely my trophy of the week.
And she also gets extra points for the onesie she was wearing.
Yes.
That's a get-up, isn't it?
To do it in the onesie as well, definitely extra points.
Yeah.
Didn't cry, wore a onesie. How could you get past that?
And played an idol, but in that order.
Yes, we'll see how she goes on Exile next week when we come out. Big thanks to you guys. And, of course, big thanks to Sarah for coming in as well. Keep watching Survivor Monday, Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 7:30 on 10. We'll see you next week.
Want to hear more of other people's problems? What's wrong with you? Shouting Freud is not an attractive quality. One that I've got in spades, though. We all like laughing at everyone's problems, so you can laugh even more when you hit the Hughesy We Have a Problem podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.